Call from mom. Answer it. Call silenced.
Instacart knows nothing gets between you and the game. That's why they make ordering from your couch easy. Stock up today and get all your groceries for the week delivered in as fast as 30 minutes without missing a minute of the game.
You have 47 new voicemails.
Download the app to get free delivery on your first three orders while supplies last. Minimum $10 per order. Additional terms apply.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Who cares?
106.7 KROQ-FM. It's the best of Kevin and Bean. Kevin and Bean are off drinking mimosas, giving each other pedicures.
Like they do.
Like they do. They're spying together. You know, they love to spa. But we're here doing the Showbiz Beat live for you because we still love you. And when I mean we, I mean we got Chip, the Wonder Weasel, on the other side of the...
I went from a monkey to a weasel.
Yep, the other side of the room. And, of course, your old radio pal, Ralph Garman, here. Let's talk about everything that's happening in show business, including this Shia LaBeouf disaster.
Actual cannibal Shia LaBeouf.
Yeah, I told you last week that he was popped in Georgia for drunken ugliness when he tried to get a cigarette from someone who refused them, and then there started to be an exchange of words, and he was getting violent and aggressive, and the police were called, and he took off and ran into a hotel lobby in hopes of evading the police, and that did not go well. He ended up being arrested. What I didn't know was how awful and disgusting and abhorrent his behavior was towards the police. Well, the body cam footage has been released. TMZ got a hold of it, and he's out of control. Now is he facing charges of public intoxication and disorderly conduct and obstruction, but he's lucky he didn't get his ass beaten. I think if those cameras hadn't been on, he would have been a pink mist by the end of this arrest. Here's a little of the audio, and I hope Beer Mug did it a competent job of editing out all the F-bombs.
I'll have my hand on the dump button.
Let's wait and see. Here's a little Shia LaBeouf's rant.
You're a f***ing bitch to the end of your days, and you live that legacy. That's what you signed up for, bitch made whore. If I have my gun, I'll blow your up. You're a bitch, though.
Ooh.
So you got your you do nothing. Except what, homie? Whore. Bitch. Coward. And your legacy. You got a kid? Hoso. Hoso so he can know what the f*** no-so is going. You're a bitch. For leagues. Not for years. A bitch for leagues. You're a pirate bitch.
Yeah.
Bitch. And you put your own kind in the f***ing pen.
Right.
For nothing. You put a white man in the pen for what? You f***ing bitch. For asking for a black man for a cigarette? That's your country. I pay my taxes, you dumb bitch. You're about to meet my lawyer, and you made this trip for nothing. And you feel like a stupid, slimy whore. Enjoy your life. That's your legacy, you coward.
Cops aren't paid enough.
Nope.
Imagine having to listen to that every time you throw somebody in the back of a squad car. And they're just like... they're getting so bored with him. Yeah, he pulled out all the stops. The racial, which was great. Talk about his own kind. And the taxpayer line, which I love. I'm a taxpayer. And the lawyers. He threatened with the lawyers. And, of course, he did say, if I had my gun, I'd blow your ass up. Which is always great to threaten the police with shootings. They love that. But by far, the most impressive was he wasn't a bitch for years. He was a bitch for leagues. He's a pirate bitch, which we're still doing some research on, trying to figure out what that is. Yeah. So Shia LaBeouf's a mess, is what we're saying. Right?
Yeah.
That's what we're saying. Yeah. I mentioned last week as well that there was a photo of Amelia Earhart that was going to be used to plug the History Channel's documentary and the fact that she does not die in a plane crash at sea, that in fact, she and her navigator, Fred Noonan, were taken hostage, taken prisoner by Japanese forces in the late 1930s on a small island in the Pacific and held there until her death. They had proof. It was going to be a documentary. It ripped the lid off the Amelia Earhart aviation mystery of whatever happened to her. There was a photograph from the 1937 during her around the world flight attempt, and the photo was going to prove the theory that she was held by the Japanese until she died in captivity. Well, that documentary came and went, and there's a guy who said, "Hey, I know that picture," and he opened up an old history book, and the photo was from a book published in 1935. The photo that they used, the aerial photo of what was supposedly a Japanese military camp, was from 1935, which was 2 years before Amelia Earhart took off in her airplane.
Nope.
So she died in a crash. That's what I'm trying to say. Let's all just get over it, not try to look for her anymore. Today's celebrity birthdays. Topher Grace is 39 years old today. Michelle Rodriguez turns 39 as well. Steve Howie's 40 years old. And Brock Lesnar of the WWE and also MMA and other letters. He is 40 years old. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
It's a total disaster.
On K-Rock.
Here are the stories on the wheel today. The CIA cats spying on Russia.
All right.
The piano playing bear.
And by the way, I should mention again for folks who think we make these stories up, all of the stories on the wheel are real stories in the news recently that we would like to make a phone call on and get further information.
Yeah, so, who knows who you're going to get on the phone?
Right? Whatever it lands on, right? That's who we call.
That's the fun of it, Ralph.
Some
you never
human
know.
Being that's involved in the story.
Right? The gay vulture raising a chicken, a chick in Amsterdam. Sorry, a chick. My bad. The Indian cyclops goat.
Oh, that's just
I want to
sad.
Talk to the vultures raising a chicken.
Well, he's a gay vulture,
they adopted, I guess. The gay vultures had to go outside the species.
The Airbnb baboons.
What's happening?
Easy for you to say. The drug-smuggling pigeons who use tiny backpacks.
Oh, that's cute.
And the peacock that trashed the liquor store.
Oh.
So those are all the stories on the
Southern
wheel.
California story.
Really?
Yeah.
So let's spin the wheel and see what we're going to do. Come on now.
It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices. Where do you think it's gonna land?
Don't know.
It's gonna be pretty bad, but Kevin and me don't care, so we'll do it anyway. It's time for the Wheel of Bad Animal Voices.
All right. I'm kind of rooting for the vulture with the chicken.
Or chick. And it's the piano playing bear.
Oh.
This is a great story, you guys. As I understand the timeline of this, it sounds to me like a family comes home in East Vail, Colorado, and there is evidence of a break-in.
Right.
They call the police. The police show up, go inside, and yes, someone has been in the condo. But not a person. A black bear had made its way into their home through an open kitchen window. They looked at the surveillance video, and they saw that the bear had walked around the whole condo, had taken food out of the freezer.
Aww. Isn't that crazy?
That is crazy. And at one point had walked over to the bench in front of the piano, got up on the bench, and started playing the piano. And I know that sounds like a joke, but you could see this video online of this bear with his little paws on the piano,
so
playing
cute.
The piano. The police said in a news release that the cords captured on the video were unbearable.
Oh, man.
And that the tune was equally grisly.
Nope.
So, look, it's an animal playing a piano. How critical do you have to be of his technique?
Man, we didn't like the song he was playing.
Right?
I mean, seriously. But what a crazy story. Like, who would ever expect something like that? You'd never think it's a bear that breaks into your
Wouldn't
condo.
Wouldn't you be kind of okay with it? Like, yeah, a bear broke into my house. That's awesome.
Yes, except for that it might do it again. So that's not
as
awesome.
Well, you change your locks.
Yeah, okay.
All right. I think this is through a window, Allie.
Window.
Okay.
Right.
You didn't have a key.
Sure.
I'm not sure how, but I think, because they're not named in the story, but I think Dave was able to get us the condo owners.
Great.
We have them on the line to tell us about what they found when they came. Hello there.
Hello there.
Hi, you own the condo where the bear broke in?
No, I'm sorry. The owner's aren't here right now. May I take a message?
Oh. Who's this?
Are you
house sitting?
No, I'm just visiting.
Okay. Oh.
I like to stop by from time to time and tickle the ivory.
This is the bear?
Yeah.
What?
How did you know?
What are the chances?
I had no idea.
Yeah, my name's Barry.
Barry.
Hi, Barry.
Barry. Barry White. Nice to meet you.
Oh, hi,
You're very
Barry White.
Smooth.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Oh. You okay?
Yeah, it's just a sound a bear makes.
He's still healthy when he makes it. It's all good. That's not sick or anything.
I don't have a cold or anything. Right. It's called a growl. A bear's growl is the sound we make. Thanks so much for coming out tonight. Happy to have you here. I got some songs for you. I hope you like them.
Oh, okay. What are you going to be playing today, Barry?
And I hope there's some of yours.
We were surprised.
Some bear over the rainbow.
Thank you.
Way up high. Thank you. Thank you very much.
Wow. You're good.
Thank you so much. You know, one of my favorite artists, Madonna, once said, like a little bear, I will take you there. Hey, thanks so much, though. You know, it's great to be here in Vail, Colorado, eh? Everybody here? Anybody from out of town?
Who are you talking to, Bear?
I'm talking to you folks.
Okay.
I'm here in Vail, Colorado. You guys are there in Los
Angeles. We're in Los Angeles,
yeah. Oh, Los Angeles.
Yeah. Uh-huh.
I've never been there, but I've got some relatives down there.
Do you?
Oh.
Yeah. One of them's on the flag.
Oh, that's one of yours. That's nice.
That's one of mine. Yeah, that's one of mine.
That is nice.
You know, he tells me all the time about the stars he sees, and, you know, one of his favorites, Phil Collins, is back.
Is that right?
Got out of retirement this week.
Mm-hmm.
I can feel it coming in the bear tonight.
Oh, yeah.
Pretty great. Also, he met Neil Diamond once, and I'm a big fan of Mr. Neil Diamond's. I am, I said, to no one bear, and no one heard at all, not even a bear. You know,
oh, Barry.
That's a great, what?
What are you doing?
You know, folks, you know, it's great to be back in summertime because I sleep a lot during the fall and the winter.
Sure, yeah, right.
You know what I always say to folks? I always say, wake me up when September ends. That's when it's time for me to stop hibernating. Hey, thank you so much. You know, folks, I'm going to take a little break, but I'll be back in a little bit. Don't forget to take care of your waiters, your waitresses, your bartenders. They work hard for you.
Kevin, you are such a douche.
And Bean,
you are such a douche.
On K-Rock.
The Summer of Death.
I'm not sure if it's
that's exciting.
Wow. Death. But I was thinking about this. Yesterday, Ralph came in on the Showbiz Beat and told us a what could have been a very tragic story about actress Jennifer Lawrence, who was on a private plane. She had visited her family in Kentucky and was on her way to New York. And the plane that she was in lost both engines.
Private Is that good or bad?
No, it's not ideal. Good. It's not what you're looking
both
for.
Both engines.
While they were 31,000 feet in the air, the plane made an emergency landing with both engines dead. She and the other passengers on the plane walked away without a scratch.
And it was Captain Sully.
What are the chances? I don't think it was. No. But he would be the guy I would want behind the wheel right. in the event of something like that happening. But now for the rest of her life, I mean, every minute that Jennifer Lawrence has, and I hope that there are a lot of them, is just bonus time. I mean, it could have easily all been over then, right?
I would think that if you're in a plane and they say, by the way, we've lost the second engine.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
I would think you would start thinking back over your life because this is it.
Mm-hmm. Yep. Kiss your ass goodbye.
Yep.
Exactly. Then we come in this morning and we started the show talking about that family from North Carolina that was in the Bahamas. And a woman is just out just paddling around off the coast there. And her arm gets taken by a shark. Same deal. Terrible that it happened. Lost her arm. Could have easily been the end for her. So many people have stories of where it could have gone just a little bit different and they would be dead, including many of us here on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Yeah.
And we thought it might be fun to revisit the topic of your near-death experiences. You were convinced that it was the end for you, but somehow you're alive to tell us the story. And it won't surprise anybody that Beer Mug has more of these than most of us do. Hey, Mugs.
Yeah, I almost two really stand out. One of them
so far.
So far, yeah. That's still I have a lot of life to live.
Maybe.
In the Kern River, which actually just made headlines this past Memorial Day weekend because there were 28 rescues and 3 deaths. And every year there are deaths in that river because depending on how high the level gets.
Oh, that whitewater river rafting is great.
Exactly. So people whitewater rapid down it in huge rafts and also other people inner tube. Well, I am the dumbass that inner tubes.
Wow.
And
are you not allowed to in that part of the lake?
You can. No, no, no. It's the river.
It's just pretty extreme.
It's extreme. But, yeah. Okay. You know, like I said, depending on the snowpack that year, and like this past year, we have a tremendous snowpack. So the river's just rushing. I mean, it's the highest it's ever been. So I was there on a mediocre year and in my inner tube drinking beer, you know, woohoo, totally Larry the Cable Guy in it down the Kern River.
Sure.
And I flipped backwards into like a little waterfall, like underwater part, and I got stuck for about 25 seconds and I couldn't move. I was upside down backwards.
And you were convinced you were going to drown.
My life was flashing in front of my eyes. I said, okay.
That must have been disappointing.
How dare you?
The summer of death.
But he was able to relive his life like four times.
So I was like, oh my God, I can't move. I can't get up. I'm trying to get up and I can't. And I said, the thought of this is it. This is how I go out and it's over. It went across my mind. And then by some miraculous, I don't know, act of God, I was able to reach up and grab the top part of my inner tube had a rope, and I pulled up and I was able to pull myself up. And when I pulled up, it was like the most like, I was like born again. I was like,
no, that was a good story.
Yeah,
I got to defend
you, Bean.
But it's got more than one, Bean. We got that kind of time.
And dramatic.
My second one's very quick. On the golf course, driving up, my buddy Adrian hits a ball. And you know how the golf carts have covers?
Yeah.
The ball landed directly. I was driving the cart directly where my head would have been had that cover not be there. And it was the loudest noise ever as the ball hit. I would have been dead had that cover not been there. How dare you?
That doesn't sound like a death story.
Yeah, oh, no, just a roof helping.
No, yeah. I would have been dead.
So you would have got hit by a golf ball. That's not going to kill you.
It can kill you. The feeling of adrenaline I had after that, because it was that close.
Yeah.
It felt like I almost died.
Hey, Muggs.
Okay.
Just stick with the river rafting.
Okay, yeah. All right.
That was a good one.
I'd cut the golf story.
No, I'm still convinced I would.
No, let the golf story go, though, is what we're saying.
Let's talk to MJ real quick. He's in Yorba Linda, line one, up first on the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, MJ.
Hey, good morning.
Good morning.
Hey.
Hey, what's going on? So I was 10 years old. I had just turned 10. I was on a big wheel. There was a house party on our street. I was coming down a driveway. Couldn't look both ways. I was trying to be a good little kid. So I'm thinking I can get out past the cars real quick, just take a quick peek and go across the street. Well, I get past the cars, and a Lincoln Navigator met me, and I ended up underneath the car.
A Lincoln Navigator ran over you.
A Lincoln Navigator ran over me.
By the way, that is also the way to tell a story right there. Boom.
Yeah, he got to it.
Done.
Yeah.
And you're 10 years old. How much damage was done? How hurt were you?
So it wasn't – I mean, it was – I mean, thank God. It ended up being most of the damage to my leg. It sounded like the doctor said if it was like half an inch or to an inch closer to my kneecap, all the pressure would have just made it look like a bomb went off in my knee and I would have lost my leg from the knee down.
Oh, my God.
So what happened was I got pinned beneath the tire and the street and the big wheel. I had a compound fracture of my fibula, so the bone was sticking out, and I was dragged for 10 to 15 feet, so a third of my ankle is now gone.
Wow.
Bad deal.
Glad you're okay, MJ. Thank you for calling. We appreciate that.
Let's talk to Kenny, who's calling us from Long Beach. Hi, Kenny.
Hey, how's it going, guys?
Good. You almost died.
Yes, I did. So when I was about second or third grade, we were having a birthday party at my house in Germany, and our stairs were marble, so the kids were just running outside. At the end of the stairs was a radiator heater, but that wasn't there, so it was just the holders.
Mm-hmm.
So I was running outside with my sister. I slipped and fell on the stairs, hit the wall, and the holder, which is about a 5-inch, kind of like a pole thing, impaled my cheek and went through my face.
Oh.
And I was stuck on the wall. And
my Lord.
Yeah. So it went through where my jaw opens and goes through, and it was almost coming out the other side. And
this was your birthday or a friend's birthday?
It was a friend's birthday.
Okay.
And, well, at least he didn't ruin yours.
Birthday.
How does that matter? He's got a pole sticking through his head, and he wants to know if it was his birthday.
Just want to find out if it ruined his special day or not. That's all. All right.
It was someone's special day, but
how much damage? Obviously, you survived. What did they do? What was the medical outcome of that?
My dad rushed me to the hospital. I had to get 36 stitches from right below my eye to my jawline and my chin.
Oh, my God.
The doctor said if it hit 2 inches above where my temple would have been, right next to my eye, it would have killed me instantly.
Wow.
Oh, man.
Nothing bad ever happened in Germany.
Right. All right. What do you want to do here, Kevin?
We need to take a break.
Take a break. Okay. Yep.
Do it.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
Sounds like diarrhea to me.
K-Rock.
We're going to get to right back to your calls on your near-death experience. But before we do, Kevin, I'm sure you have at least one.
I have two that come to mind. The first one was when I was in college, I was rock climbing. And I got up into a spot where I couldn't go any higher and I couldn't go lower. I was stuck.
Oh, geez.
And I had to jump. And it was about 100 feet down.
No, oh, sir.
No. It wasn't a long jump, but if I missed it, death.
Oh, man.
So I sat there and thought about it and thought about it and thought about it. And then I realized I'm just getting weaker.
Yeah.
There's no way I'm going to be able to hold on unless, and I just jumped.
Did you die?
Yes, I died. No, I actually caught the other side. And I was super surprised. I was like, I live. This is amazing.
Was that your last time rock climbing?
Yes.
Yes, it was, as a matter of fact. Do you think, and I know this is off subject, but while we're talking about hiking, do you think you would have been able to cut off your own arm to survive like the 127 hours guy did?
Of course.
Really? No, I would have just died right there in the rocks.
I don't know. And the other was when I flipped my car three times after going to Burning Man.
Yeah.
Oh, right.
Yeah.
That's not good.
Yeah,
that's
that could have happened.
And, you don't know. Like, it was at night, so you don't know if there's a huge cliff, if there's a tree,
yeah,
a giant rock. You have no idea. And the car's flipping, so I was just assumed I was dead then, too.
Yeah, but you lived that time, too?
I didn't die that time, either. Right.
Cool.
Let's go to Stephen or Stefan, whichever, in Huntington Beach, please, line 8. And it's so interesting, by the way, and Muggs brought this up in his awful storytelling, that even though it can be a matter of seconds between the time when you realize you might die and the time that you realize how lucky you were that you didn't, that is enough time for you to have a lot of thoughts.
Sure.
Yeah.
I mean, you know, people always talk about their lives flashing in front of their eyes. Kevin, you and I have both been in situations where we thought we were going to die, where it literally feels like you're going in slow motion. You have time to comprehend the enormity of what's happening.
2 seconds does seem like a week.
Which is amazing. Yeah. All right, Stephen, welcome to the show, my friend. What's going on?
Good morning, everyone. Long-time listener and first-time caller.
Thank you, Stephen.
Yeah, near-death experience. I was at a theme park, and it was up on one of the loops, and my harness came off.
Oh, dear Lord.
Yeah, so my harness flipped up, and I started to slide out the side of the roller coaster, and I was lucky and fortunate enough that the gentleman next to me reached over, grabbed me by my shirt, and yanked me back in and held me through the rest of the ride.
Oh, my God.
Now, and Kevin later, gave up rock climbing after his story. Did you give up roller coasters after yours?
I pretty much haven't been back to that same theme park.
That is terrifying. That's a huge fear. When you get on a roller coaster, don't you always say to the person that comes by and checks it, "Are you sure? Are you sure?" And you're just constantly jabbing at it?
No, not really.
Really?
No, I don't. I'm not that scared of it, but now I should be,
man.
I guess.
That's a fear of mine. Wow.
Well, the funny part is that after it had came loose and he pulled me back and he held me the rest of the way, by the time the end of the ride, it relocked. And so when I got off at the roller coaster and then you get in and then, you know, the air and it releases it. And I did one of those, should I say something? I kept looking back at it and I kept thinking to myself, should I tell someone? Because it relocked. I just said, forget it. I walked away.
What a selfish
bastard. I wish you flew off the coaster.
I was 12 or 13 years old.
Get off my phone.
Let's go to George.
Why
Line.
Why would you tell them?
I don't know. Mission Viejo. It's a completely different kind of near-death experience. This one does not involve an accident.
George, hi.
Good morning, everybody. Long time listener.
Thank you.
I was 16, one of my first jobs, and I was working at, I don't know if you're familiar with one of those drive-in dairies, you know, you can pick up, you know, small things. Anyway, so just about closing time, I turned around and this guy standing right in front of me with his gun, he has the trigger pulled back, and he's shaking like an absolute leaf. I mean, and right then and there, I thought it was going
to
be over.
Oh, so he had a gun to your head, but he was scared out of his mind and shaking?
Oh, yeah.
Oh,
no. He was losing. I mean, I felt any second that trigger was just going to go off.
Oh, no.
And then so he turned around, he robbed me. We had just gotten paid, so he took my wallet with all my money in it, and then he emptied what was left in the cash register, and about 15 minutes earlier, we had just emptied out the till because it was getting close to closing time.
Right.
And then he told me to turn around, kneel down, put my hands behind my head, and then I just thought, this is it. I'm done. And one of the coworkers that had took the money into the office came out, and she goes, did we just get robbed? And that was the sweetest voice I think I ever heard at that point in time.
Wow, that's scary.
So, yeah.
Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Glad you're okay. Can we do line three, please? This is Araceli from Norwalk.
All right, Araceli, hi.
Hi, good morning, everyone.
Hi. What happened to you?
What happened?
So I was on vacation in Mexico at my grandfather's house, and I was on top of the wrought iron fence looking down the balcony, and my grandfather had some workers down. So when they turned on a machine that they were working on, the wires were peeled and made connection with the wrought iron fence. So I stayed stuck there for a couple of seconds. I passed out, but apparently I was making some kind of noise that my grandfather came out.
So you were basically getting electrocuted.
Yes. Oh, and so when they pulled me off, pieces of my skin stayed on the fence.
Okay.
So, all right.
Ouch. So in Mexico, some rubber shoes were really popular, and that's what saved me.
Oh, because it grounded you.
Yeah, it grounded me.
Wow, that's crazy.
That's crazy.
Were there any after effects health-wise from that much electricity?
I had, like, Tourette syndrome for, like, a whole year. I would sleep, and I would, like, shake.
Aww. Oh, you didn't have the cursing kind? That's my thing.
No, not the, just the sudden, like...
Kevin wants the cursing kind.
I swear to God. I
was hoping to get it. All right, Araceli.
You think that would just all of a sudden make her curse? I swear to God.
Thanks for calling, Araceli. Go Raiders.
Radio.com. Radio.com.
Why did we agree to do this?
Why did we agree to do anything?
I hate us.
Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
I hate us.
I don't know what to make of this, Kevin, because we heard a few months ago that the government had figured out a way to use your Samsung television and listen to conversations that you have in your living room in front of your TV.
Yeah, they can spy on you.
I don't love that. I'm not super crazy about our electronics spying on us. And now it is being reported that headphones from Bose, and a lot of people have these. Kevin, you mentioned this is the headphones you travel with, right?
Yes.
The Quiet Comfort 35 headphones from Bose is one of several products listed in a lawsuit alleging that the company spies on users through their headphones.
I don't love that.
That's what I'm saying. There's a plaintiff in the case, a guy named Kyle Zach. He bought a pair of these wireless Bose headphones last month, registered the headphones, gave the company's name and email address, as well as the headphone serial number, and then found out after the fact that they were able to collect information on what he was listening to in the phones. I mean, I guess that's what these companies are in business to do, is to try to harvest as much information from its customers as they can so they can use it to make deals with other advertisers and sell your info and stuff like that. But I just feel like they ought to let you know ahead of time if that's what's going on.
It's worse than that, even. I don't know if you read further in the article, but apparently there's some, not only can they monitor what you are listening to, but they also can monitor what you're saying. They can turn the speakers into microphones.
This is no bueno, Ralph.
If they wanted to, they could record your interaction while you're wearing those Bose headsets as long as they're turned on.
I'm with no bueno guy.
Now, Kevin, you have them. You wear them, right?
I do have them. Yeah.
Bean also wears
them. I do.
Them.
I love those headphones. They're very comfortable.
So I talked to Dave, our producer, and I said, contact the Freedom of Information Act lawyers here at K-Rock and have them petition the government and see if we can get perhaps some of the recorded information on Kevin and Bean since they use these headphones.
That seems highly illegal.
It's not. With the Freedom of Information Act, they released it to us because, of course, we're a news organization. And so
you are a well-known journalist.
Thank you. And I was able to obtain some of the audio of Kevin and Bean wearing these Bose headphones.
I'm not comfortable with this being public, though, without my permission.
Not only can we monitor what they were listening to, but we can also monitor what they were saying while they were listening to it. For example, Kevin, as you can imagine, uses the headphones to listen to music all the time. Here's some of the audio we discovered.
Oh, love the song. Boom, dum, boom, dop, tip, top, zum, boom, bop. I can never remember the name of this song, though. What is it? Pumkop? Stum-dop. Doorstop. doorstop.
While you're listening to whatever you're listening to, they can hear what you're saying.
That's bogus.
Kevin also uses them to listen to television.
Yes, absolutely. Oh. Oh, muy bueno. Oh, mucho, mucho gusto. Muy, mucho, mucho guapo. Fuego, fuego. I'm so chimichanga churro.
I don't know how that's useful information for Bo's to get.
Look, and not all of it's going to be useful. Kevin sometimes listens to online videos also while he's got his headphones on.
Thought of as a vector equation.
Mm, yes.
We have to provide a direction for the force.
No, but...
Vectors have directions.
But hypothetically, matter can have negative mass in the same sense that an electric charge can be either negative or positive.
Well, wow. The answer is...
Well, people rarely think in these terms. In our everyday world, you only see the positive aspects of Isaac Newton's second law of motion, in which a force is equal to the mass of an object times its acceleration, or F equals MA. In other words, if you push an object, it will accelerate in the direction you're pushing it, but mass will accelerate in the direction of the force.
What's I have no
happening
idea.
Here?
Listen to astrophysics lectures.
All
no
of a sudden,
idea.
I approve. Wow. I am shocked by this.
Wow.
Wait till you hear, Bean, what the audio we
oh,
got
come
from
on.
On yeah. you, Bean.
Are you serious?
Bean also listens to music, as you can imagine. Mm-hmm. He listens to a ton of music while he's listening to his, with his Bose headphones. Every man knew as the
captain did. Oh, Gordon. Oh, I'm so glad I'm not wearing pants.
Oh, why? Man. Come
you
on.
Hear Bean while he's listening to on. Music. Educational videos online.
I will open the body in an oval shape, and
finally, I love a good autopsy video.
I will open the thoracic shield together with abdominal wall.
I love when they open the thoracic shield.
To my side. I will start now.
Yes.
It will take a few minutes.
Let's get inside.
And I have opened those abdominal.
Oh, it's great work with the scalpel. I'm so glad I'm not wearing pants.
I sense a theme here. Come on.
Bean also likes to watch documentary films with the headphones, as you can imagine.
Sure.
Yeah. Oh, Chuck Berry's one of my favorite artists.
Oh, no.
Oh, he's such a talent. Chuck Berry, he built rock and roll. He's... Oh, Chuck. I'm so glad I'm not wearing pants.
Oh, it got very ugly.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show.
You're all doing great. Except for Kevin.
K-Rock.
This is unbelievable. I mean, this guy goes to jail and they say, what are you in for? And he says, throwing a fish onto ice at a hockey game. Here's the news story about the dude.
A Nashville Predators fan faces charges after he threw a catfish onto the ice during last night's game one of the Stanley Cup in Pittsburgh. Jacob Waddell of Nolensville has been charged with possessing instruments of crime.
Okay, now, so that's one charge.
All right.
Possessing instruments of crime.
Disrupting meetings.
is a charge.
Disrupting
in Pittsburgh.
A meeting.
What are you in for, Grand Theft Auto? You disrupted a meeting.
Let's take John real quick. He's in Monterey Park, line one.
Hey, John. Welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Kevin and Bean. How are you doing? Good morning.
Good. You were arrested for something lame. What was it?
Oh, maybe about 15 years ago. I was 19. I was underage. I was in Las Vegas. And I was drinking, of course. And I was walking down Las Vegas Boulevard. Cop pulled me over for public intoxication. He asked me what my birthday was. I couldn't remember my birthday. He asked me what my social security was. I didn't remember my social security. Finally, he was like, what's your name? I said, John Smith. And he's like, yeah, right. And he arrested me. My name is John Smith.
So yeah, he thought you were being disrespectful by saying your name was John Smith, and that's actually your name.
Pretty much. Yeah, pretty much. So I spent 4 days in Clark County at 19 years old.
Four days?
Huh? 4 days, yeah, because apparently I didn't have my ID with me, so I guess it's like an FBI kind of background check.
Oh,
so it was over
gosh.
The weekend. It was a long holiday, so, yeah.
That sounds like a fun weekend for you,
That's
John.
That's unbelievable.
It was great times.
And by the way, is it impossible for you to get a motel or hotel reservation because your name is John Smith? Do people always think you're making it up?
No. I get Pocahontas all the time. My wife's called Jane Doe.
Sure.
Last year we went to Williamsburg, Jamestown, and I was like a rock star over there. It was pretty cool.
I'm not positive you were like a rock star. Did you ever interrupt a meeting?
No, I never interrupted
all
a
right.
meeting.
Good for you. Thank you for
all
the
right,
call.
All right, John. Thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Let's talk to Billy real quick. Alhambra. He was guilty of being a dumbass, basically, is what he got arrested for.
Hey, Billy.
How you doing, Kevin?
What happened? You were a dumbass how?
So me and a bunch of friends were going to sell a bunch of different drugs. They all ditched the drugs in the bushes when they saw a cop turn around. And I left a joint behind my ear. I was 15 years old, and they arrested me for a joint behind my ear.
Oh, that's
there
upsetting.
You go.
Yeah. You got to remember where you put it.
Right?
I was like, shoot, it's just a joint. I mean, what are they going to do?
Right?
Right. It's just a joint.
Because it's just a joint.
That's a pretty good defense when you're 15. It's just a joint. Come on, man.
All right.
From the 949 at 1-800-520-1067. Check this out. I wish Michael were on the phone. I got arrested for yelling bingo at a family bingo game and running up on stage with no pants or underwear. I was in jail for 24 hours.
Why did that happen?
I want to hear that, right? That's awesome.
At a family bingo game.
Yes, I want every detail of that story.
That's, wow. Hey, Russell, you got arrested for what?
Well, technically the charge was misdemeanor vandalism, which makes sense given what it was. But I was 17 years old at the time, and we had friends, a group of guys, group of girls, would do things back and forth to each other's houses and cars and whatever, sort of as a way to flirt and piss off our parents. And we had a friend who was going to be out of town or out for the evening. We knew that. And so three of us got together, jumped the fence to her yard, and were just toilet papering her backyard.
You got caught toilet papering?
Toilet papering someone's yard. And what happened was a neighbor saw three guys in black hoodies jump a fence and called the cops.
Yeah.
And we're back there, you know, wrapping up chairs and throwing it across the pool and having a good time. And I run around the corner, and I'm staring at the barrel of a gun.
Oh, dear Lord.
Oh, my.
And the guy is just like, and it's like, get on the ground. What are you doing? Get up. You know, and like, hands in the air. And we're just like, ah.
We're just TPing.
It's just toilet paper.
It's like toilet paper in our hands, and we're all just standing around.
That escalated quickly.
Wow.
Yeah. No, and they brought us in, and ultimately, I don't think we were ultimately charged. We were left, you know, like our parents had to come and pick us up.
Well, they scared the crap out of you. They got the message across. Don't do it anymore, right?
Yeah.
Kevin, how many times did you TP coming up?
Oh, I don't know.
Oh, every other weekend during the summer.
I mean,
for sure.
Both of you.
I mean,
for
you
sure.
And Allie both.
Honestly, 100.
Yeah, easily.
Easily.
And Russell 100. Got taken in for it. Thank you for the call, sir. Appreciate that. Wow. All right, let's try Brian Long Beach Line 4 up next.
Hey, Brian.
Hey, how's it going?
Good. You got arrested for what?
I got arrested for a stray dog that wasn't mine, not having a dog license. So the story is this. Found a dog, kept it for a little bit. It went out front of my house. It got caught. So I said, yeah, it's mine. Finally, the dog disappeared again. Months go by. I'm picking a friend up off the corner to go to a party, and she's a female. Get pulled over. They say, I go, why'd you pull me over? They go, well, we pulled you over because you're picking up a hooker. I'm like, no, she's my best friend. Oh, we're going to a party.
That's got
to
hurt.
I'm like, what? So when I finally get to the police station and everything, and they're processing me, going through everything, I go, I got to ask, what was the warrant for? I know I've had a lot before because I've driven my car without license plates and everything, but they said, oh, it was for a dog license. I'm like, I don't even have the dog anymore.
How is it? I didn't
think anything of it. And it was Christmas time when it happened, so I'm just like, great. Mom had to bail me out, all that kind of stuff.
I'm assuming this happened a lot to you, Brian.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Not arrested, but doing kind of like driving without license and insurance.
Sure,
yeah.
Brian sounds like a quality dumbass. Thank you for the call. Appreciate that. Let's try Jorge, please. Line 7, Los Angeles. Then after Jorge, I want to hear what Kevin went down for.
I mean, it's just little stuff. Jorge, hi.
Hello, good morning. Hello, Ali.
Hello.
How are you? Well, I got arrested for stealing my own car.
For stealing your own car?
Did you say for stealing your own car?
Yes, I was driving on the 101, smoking a ball. Somebody saw me. They reported me. So when the cop pulled me over, he was waiting for me.
So when he pulls me over, you know, he notices that the car is reported stolen, I guess. 9 months ago, it was reported stolen. When I bought it and it was fine for 9 months till I got pulled over. Then I realized it was stolen. They asked me if I had any weapons in the car, and I said, yes, I have two guns. So next thing I know, chopper, cars, you know, cops pointing their guns at me. After 20 minutes of searching the car, they didn't find anything, and they go, hey, where are the guns? And I just flexed my arms, and I go, these guns. So I got arrested for that.
You're stupid, is just... No.
You did not do Suns Out, Guns Out with the police.
Well, I knew I didn't steal the car, so I was just having fun. But
Jorge.
Way too much.
Jorge, are you pranking us, or did you really do that to the police?
I don't care.
Check the report, man. That's... I was in LA County Jail for 4 days.
Guys, I know we got a bunch of other calls, but we got how do we
you
know, move
you
on after
you
Jorge?
Just, yeah, end you on Jorge.
Jorge's the winner.
Oh. We have a winner.
It's Kevin and Bean on K Rock.
Lame.
I hate it so
much.
Does that bother you so much? It's funny, Allie.
I was trying to think yesterday why. I mean, it gets under my skin.
I noticed.
And it just creeps me out to no end. I hate it.
My reaction is I'm fascinated that he can do it because I can't, which there's a lot of stuff you can do that I can't.
Well, don't get me wrong. I'm not really doing anything.
But it sounds like you are.
But I don't think I am. But that's what today's all about. Let's back up and talk about what we're talking about, right?
Ralph can talk backwards.
Well, I can't.
And it's because of the devil.
And it's also not.
Right?
So the first two things you've said are completely wrong. That much we know. Here's the thing. There are people who can talk backwards. They can look at a sentence or read a sentence and read it backwards.
That's really a thing?
That's a thing. Somebody
accurately.
Someone at Stryker can do it.
Accurate? Really?
Yes. That's what I've heard. That's
kind
the word
of freak
of the street.
Is Stryker?
I don't know. See, there's your devil, man.
Right there, devil.
What I do is, like so many things in my life, an impression, an impersonation of what it sounds like when something is played backwards, when someone is backmaster, whatever they call that.
Right.
The thing.
And if I were to hear it separately from this conversation, I would think that that's something being played backwards.
Exactly.
Yeah.
But it's just me mimicking a bunch of sounds and noises to make it sound, doing an impression of something that would be played backwards.
And you get that talent from the devil.
No. Again, no devil involved.
All right.
But like when I was watching Twin Peaks back in the day, I used to see that little, remember the little midget?
The little midget?
Sure.
Yeah.
Sure.
Now, what they would do is they would take him and he would speak backwards and then they would flip that and he would be speaking frontwards, but it would sound weird because it was played backwards.
Oh, so remember? he was a Stryker's people that could actually do it for real.
I guess they would write it out phonetically for something.
Oh, okay.
Something. So he would say it backwards, then they would flip it and play it forward.
And it sounded really
and it would
awkward
sound weird,
and
weird. Like, I am going to find out when. So it had that sound to it.
Right.
So I became fascinated with that sound, and I just started listening to a bunch of stuff backwards, and I always loved doing an impression of that sound. That sound
now,
is so cool.
Who knew that was going to come in handy?
Not me.
When you did it yesterday and Allie started to perspire from fright, she brought up that maybe it's Twin Peaks is the reason why it's so creepy to her is because when she hears you do that voice, she pictures that creepy little voice. You think that's what's going on, Allie?
It literally gives me chills in the back of my jawbone.
What?
Hate it.
Why does it bother you so much?
Don't
and who
know.
Gets chills in their jawbone?
Well, people you know that are freaked out by stuff.
That old saying, oh, that chills my jawbone. You know how people talk when they're scared, Kevin?
It doesn't make the hair on the back of your neck stand up or anything else.
No,
it puts chills right in my jawbone.
You know when it tingles and you're just grossed out? No.
Now, what if, Ralph, what if what you really didn't know, and Kevin is right, you are possessed by the devil, what if you don't think you're saying anything when you make the backwards noise, but if you did it and then we flipped it around and it really did say something, what if that happened?
You think maybe I'm speaking in tongues or
something? Yes, and you don't even know it.
Maybe the spirit world is trying to talk through me?
And by spirit world, you mean devil.
Yes. Okay, Kevin. The devil.
Let's
do we
try
have
it.
Yeah, technology the devil. To do that?
We
can
do,
we try
yes.
That?
If you, okay, Ralph will say something, and then we're going to flip it backwards. So he's going to talk backwards.
So I'm going to just do some goofing. I'm going to make some backwards noises.
Yes.
Then we'll actually take that. We will flip it around.
Correct.
And play it and see if it sounds like anything forward.
Maybe you are saying stuff you're not even aware of.
Oh, I don't know if I want to know the answer
because
to this question.
Devil.
I don't know if I want
how's
to know
your,
the
How's
devil.
Your jawbone, Allie?
Not good. Not good.
Getting chills in your jawbone? All right, so I'm just going to say something weird,
and then we'll flip it and see what it sounds
yes.
like.
Yes. All right, okay. Everybody quiet. Here
all
we
right,
go.
Here we go. All right,
now that wasn't, that's not.
That's nothing. That as far, as, far as I know, it's just nonsense sounds of me doing an impression of what it sounds like when something is played right, backwards.
Here's how that sounds reversed. Now it's forward.
Okay.
Okay, so nonsense.
Nothing.
So no devil.
Okay.
All right.
Feeling a little better.
Let me try it again. I'll try
Wait,
to make
you,
some.
You honestly think that he was is
I
saying
think
something?
Honestly, he is possessed, and
right.
it's very scary.
Devil. Okay.
Let me try it again. I'll try to make some more clearer sounds. Perhaps we can. Maybe at least we can. It'll sound like something.
Okay.
All right. All right. Here we go.
It's the strangest talent ever.
It's not a talent.
All right. Here we go. This is it. Reversed. Essentially sounds the same forward and backwards.
Yeah.
So no devil.
Questionable.
You're not sure?
Nope.
One last try?
Let's try one last try.
Quiet on the set.
Okay. How was that?
That was good. Let's reverse it.
Bean is unbelievably creepy.
Hey, wait a minute.
I do have a connection with the other side.
Show mornings on K-Rock, 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 K-Rock. Sounds
kind of
boring.
Your old buddy Ralph still hanging with you live with all the show business news in the showbiz beat. It's another day. It's another musical based on the popular songbook of a rock band. You know, we've had it all. We've had Mamma Mia with ABBA, and they've done it with Billy Joel and Sinatra. There's a new one with Meatloaf's Bat Outta Hell album. Just debuted in the UK. It's going to be coming to Broadway soon. And now?
Alien Ant Farm.
No. It should be, though, right? No, it turns out, I can't believe we've waited this long. There's going to be a musical based on the songs of the Rolling Stones.
All right.
This project is being workshopped as we speak in London, England, appropriately enough. And the creators, who have not yet revealed themselves, still need approval from the band. That's probably why they haven't revealed themselves, for fear of lawsuit, but I'm guessing they're going to put the whole thing together and then present it to the band and their management and see if they can get everyone, including Mick Jagger, especially Mick Jagger, to sign off and then get the show off the ground. But seems appropriate. I mean, they've done it with the Beatles, naturally, so I think the Rolling Stones could not be too far away. Speaking of using someone's music in an interesting way, Michael Jackson's music will be featured in a new animated Halloween special. I don't get the connection. I don't see what's so particularly scary about Michael Jackson. Unless, of course, you're a young boy.
Yeah.
But it's called Michael Jackson's Halloween. It'll be on CBS this fall. It's animated, featuring the voices of Jim Parsons, Lucy Liu, Brad Garrett. It's about two teenagers who wind up at the Palace Hotel at 777 Jackson Street on Halloween and wind up in a musical, magical adventure. Featuring all the music of Michael Jackson. I can get Thriller. I get that.
But
beyond that, bad? I don't know. Yeah. We'll have to wait and see. And here's, finally, talk about good music. Here's what we've been waiting for. The return of Paris Hilton.
Woo!
Yes, Paris Hilton. Remember that name? Remember when she was the white hot star of reality television and tabloids? Long before the Kardashians. There was the Hiltons. And boy, she just dropped off the radar. I guess she's DJing now, right? In Ibiza and other places like that. She had a song back in 2006 called Stars Are Blind, which was on the pop charts for a minute. It was pretty well received, quite frankly, for someone who has no real talent. Well, anyway, she's got a new single coming out this summer. It is released to coincide with the release of her new fragrance, her 23rd perfume, by the way.
What?
23rd perfume. There's not even that many smells in the world. How can you make 23 perfumes? The song is called Summer Rain, and it is, it's craptastic. Here's a little taste of her new single for the summer, Summer Rain.
Boop, 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 boop.
look, in her defense, it's awful. But it could be any song by anybody anywhere.
Yeah.
Right? It's not necessarily. It's not as bad or worse than anything else that's out there right now. Right? That's all you need. Just turn that on and turn on the dance floor. And if you were wondering why Paris Hilton was playing on K-Rock if we had gotten hacked, it's a real possibility. Here's my new favorite story. It's all about the world of radio. There's a station called Mansfield 103.2 in the UK. And they are furious and scared because their station, their radio station, has been hacked into 8 times in the past month. The owner of the station in England tells BBC Radio 4 that they can't believe how hard it is to find the person who's responsible for this disaster. Apparently, he's got a small transmitter, and if he gets near the station, he can piggyback on their signal and overpower the signal on their airwaves. Here's the thing about this guy. He's done it 8 times in the past month. The only thing he does is play a song called The Wanker Song from the 1970s in the UK. It's about self-pleasure, and it's considered extremely offensive in the UK. And all he does is he takes their signal, he piggybacks on it, and he plays the wanker song over and over again. I love this guy. I don't know who he is, but I love him. Here's a little taste of the song. It's not nearly as offensive to us here in the States because wanker doesn't really mean much to us. But here's a little taste of the song that you will hear on the Mansfield 103.2 every time this guy hacks it 8 times in the past month.
I'm a wanker, and it does me good like it bloody well should. I'm a wanker.
Right. I would love to hear that. Maybe we'll have that for Keep It 100 on Friday.
I'd take that over Paris Hilton any day.
Get the wanker song playing on K-Rock. Let's take a look at today's celebrity birthdays. Brock Lesnar is 40 years old today. Steve Howe is 40 years old as well. Michelle Rodriguez is 39. Topher Grace also 39. I want to remind folks, Friday night, 10 p.m., Kevin Smith, my good friend, and I are taking the stage at the Improv on Melrose. We're going to do our Hollywood Babylon show. We'd love to have you come out and join us. You can go to improv.com to get your tickets. Come on out. I'm Ralph Garman. I walk the showbiz beat.
Bitter, predictable, whining disc jockeys. It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock.
Ralph had brought us this story about the National Mental Health Association listed the most common psychiatric illnesses. And the list is surprising. Some of them were not surprising. Like, I know that a lot of people are not down with the spiders. I think they're wrong.
Well, that's number one.
Mm-hmm. It is number one. And
rightfully
they're wrong.
So.
Because spiders are awesome and they're great and you should be nice to them.
Okay, that'll help. That nice should take care
them.
Of it, Bean.
But some of the things that were on the list I have questions about. And that's why I asked Dave to line somebody up. Like vomiting. Like nobody, I would think nobody enjoys vomiting. But who's afraid of vomiting? Like how is there a phobia of vomiting? Which is called emetophobia, by the way, which I was unfamiliar with. So we asked Dave, who can we get on from the National Mental Health Association? And we have Professor Milton Caraway joining us on the line right now. Hello, Professor. Welcome.
Good morning. Thank you so much for having me. What's
well,
so
can
funny?
You help? Can you?
Why are you laughing at me? I have a fear of being laughed at.
Oh, no.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Sorry about that.
I don't understand it at all. Just say hello, and all of a sudden you're laughing
all right,
at
we
me.
Apologize.
Try to be considerate.
Very mental health professional, don't you know?
Right.
Okay, well, we'll be careful with that.
Thank
so
you.
Help me understand how somebody could have a fear of vomiting.
Oh, the fear of vomiting.
Mm-hmm.
The metaphobia.
Right.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Right, but how does that happen? Like I said, I think that nobody likes it, nobody enjoys it, nobody looks forward to it.
Oh, I see. You're asking for the underlying cause of the fear.
Well, I mean,
yes.
you're the expert.
Well, the thing is, as with many cases, with many fears, they're all based basically in a lack of control for the person who's suffering from them.
I see.
Oh, I see.
And as anyone knows, you really can't control vomiting.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's very hard.
You can try, but it ends up being a messy situation for everyone involved.
Kind of sneaks up on you a little bit.
The same goes for flying, aerophobia.
Sure, people are afraid of flying, yeah.
They're really afraid of the lack of control, being in the air and not being in control of their own situation and circumstance.
And that makes sense.
Yeah.
Now, most of those people, though, Professor, aren't they really more afraid of crashing than they are of flying? The flying part is easy, right? No, I'm not
that's
making
a good one.
I was being serious, but
really?
Okay. Yes.
Don't.
Okay. All right. What kinds of things do you, when you say number two on the list is people and social situations, yeah. What are people talking about when they check that box?
Well, like I said, I have a fear of being laughed at, and there you were laughing at me the minute I got on the phone.
We're laughing with you.
That's
we
an
apologize.
Emotional scar that's going to last for some time. Mm.
I'm sorry.
But a lot
sorry.
Of people getting up in front of a group of people to speak is terrifying beyond belief.
Yeah, mm-hmm. A lot of people hate that.
Social situations bring with them a certain amount of pressure because everybody cares what other people think of them, don't you know?
Right. So you go to a party or something like that, and you're worried about having to make small talk with people you don't know. And then
people judging your appearance or what you might say.
Right.
Or you go into a room and you say, spiders are great and you should love them. And everyone thinks you're a douchebag.
Now,
a lot
professor...
of people would be afraid to be trapped in an elevator with a person like that.
Sure. Yeah.
It's known as beanophobia in my profession.
Oh, I didn't know it had an official title.
Come on.
It's
really?
True.
How about
There's
that?
There's a lot of fears that aren't on the list that really a lot of people suffer from. It just didn't make the top 10.
Oh. Well, like what? What's outside the top 10? What are the next 10?
Slither sphincophobia.
Slither what?
Slither sphincophobia.
What's that?
That's a fear someone has of sitting on the toilet and having a snake go up inside their bum.
Oh. Well, okay. That is a very legitimate fear, I think.
I don't love that one.
I don't think he's listing ones you're going to like, Kevin.
I'm not looking forward to that.
Does not like horrific fear. It's strange because so many people do love me.
Okay, all right.
That is nipophobia.
Nip-a-phobia.
Oh. Yes. The fear of getting your nipples caught in a stapler.
In a stapler? That's very...
That's pretty specific.
How
seems
do
like...
you feel about that one, Kevin?
Well, I wouldn't like it.
Okay.
Yeah.
There's tiffophobia.
Tiffophobia.
Tiffophobia is the fear of getting blackout drunk and waking up the next morning with Tiffany Trump in your bed.
Okay. Again, it's so specific. I can't imagine.
What's going on with her face, by the way?
Look, it's unfortunate, but we shouldn't make fun.
Looks like a human Snapchat filter.
What is wrong with you?
You're a National Mental Health Association spokesman?
Yeah, but I'm not a plastic surgeon. I don't know what happened to that face. There's animophobia.
Animal phobia.
Nope.
Enema phobia.
Oh, enema. Very different. Very different.
Is it?
I hope.
Enema phobia.
Yes?
Is the fear of sitting on an open fire hydrant.
Okay.
And of course, there's tropicanophobia.
Tropicanophobia.
Yes.
Oh, no. Oh, God.
What's
That's
that?
The fear of running out of orange juice. Don't you know? I like orange.
No,
Professor. No.
No.
I like orange juice.
Come on.
Grape juice? No. Tomato juice?
No.
Professor.
Carrot juice? No.
All right.
Orange juice. Yeah. Orange juice.
The only thing that sounds worse than the song is the song on the phone.
Mango juice?
That's a good one, isn't it?
That is a good one. We love it. Radio.com.
Radio.com. The Kevin and Bean Show.
Just not funny.
K-Rock.
You have been out for a couple of days, and while you were gone...
A lot has changed.
A lot has changed.
Yeah. A lot.
First of all, fire must cleanse us. But second of all, not only did I have a moment with, I did something that I don't think I have ever done in my entire radio career.
Sweet.
And that is, and you're not going to believe this, that is accidentally say the F word on the radio.
What?
Yes.
Yep.
Accidentally?
Yes. Not for comedy. Not like Ralph does, where he just throws it down there just to get a reaction out of us. No, this was in conversation, completely out of the blue, with no pretense or malice. It just happened.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, that's awesome.
I mean, are you surprised to hear that happened? Because neither are you. Neither one of us are big swearers in real life.
Right.
I mean, we swear for comedy, right?
Sure.
But it just
happened.
But
you less than me, even.
Yes.
Way less.
Yes. Hey, take it easy.
I'm just saying.
I mean, Chip was like, come on, Bean. Like, I think Chip said, aren't you the one person I shouldn't have to have my finger on the button for? Allie, you were stunned.
I was stunned, but the most stunned was Bean, which made it so much better.
Yeah, that's the best.
For folks listening now, you probably didn't hear it. So we had on the showrunner for this NFL Films program on Amazon called All or Nothing. It's about the 2016 Rams season. It's a great show.
That's kinda a great series.
Yeah, mm-hmm. Kind of like they did the Cardinals last year.
Yep.
The Cardinals, right?
Yep.
Kind of like HBO Hard Knocks. So anyway, so we had him on, and it was near the end of the interview, and I was mentioning that it was great that they had John Hamm as the narrator this year. So I just want to talk a little bit about how awesome John Hamm is.
And what you wanted to do to him?
And close. Somehow, this is what came out.
I was kidding.
And now, a moment with Bean.
You got John Hamm back as your narrator again this year. He's pretty dreamy, right?
Oh, you're the worst.
I mean, let's be honest, Keith. Let's just be men here. I mean, he is effing amazing, right?
Did you just cuss, Bean?
I did.
Are you
I've never done that
John Hamm just made you cuss?
That was a moment with Bean.
In defense of Bean, he's not wrong.
He is not. I agree 100%.
That's awesome.
But the fact that he said the word, then immediately backed it up with effing, in case we didn't know what that word was.
Yeah, like
amazing.
Somehow that was going to erase the bad word by doing that.
But the way delay works, if Chip got out of delay, no one heard the first word. So when Bean says effing, they would hear
maybe.
That.
Maybe, yeah.
And Bean knew that.
Okay.
Not credit.
Even a little bit. And it really, I'm not going to lie, it shook me.
Oh, it's not that big a deal.
No, it did. Because it never has happened before, and I think I expect a certain level of professionalism. Even on this show, I feel like there's some things...
When does that start?
Because I feel like there's some things I know I can't say.
Right.
It should never cross my mind to say it. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but
I was disappointed in me.
We're all disappointed in you, but not for that. Normal conversation, that kind of word comes up a lot.
Of course. And it happens frequently where somebody says it on the air. It's usually a caller or a guest who's just having a conversation. That's how people talk. And
it's
they just
anyone but Bean.
It's
anyone but Bean.
So I wasn't happy with that. Want to hear it again?
Yeah.
And now, a moment with Bean.
You got John Hamm back as your narrator again this year. He's pretty dreamy, right?
Oh, you're the worst.
I mean, let's be honest, Keith. Let's just be men here. I mean, he is f-ing amazing. Effing amazing, right?
Did you just cuss, Bean?
I did. I've never done that before.
John Hamm just made you cuss?
That was a moment with Bean.
I'm happy with that.
Let me add a P.S. to this because it happened yesterday, and I don't know if we'll have time otherwise to play this. This is another great piece of tape that I want to play. And that is Dan Stevens, who, Kevin, you love from Legion.
Yep.
Beauty and the Beast star. I know him and love him from Downton Abbey. He's doing a press tour right now for his new sci-fi film called Killswitch, I think. And he's on a British TV show, and a woman who's interviewing him says something, but she, unlike me, she didn't realize what it was she said.
Ah.
On the air, and everybody else is laughing around her, and she's just so confused, but presses on with the interview, and I think you'll enjoy this. Again, Dan Stevens from yesterday.
This is you as an All-American, and a big opportunity for you in Hollywood. You must have had to beat off a lot of American men.
Okay. Now, that's not what she means.
No.
How do you know?
Beat out a lot of American men, a lot of competition for the role, and you'll hear that her co-host and the actor Dan Stevens start cracking up. She's going on because she doesn't know.
You must have had to beat off a lot of American men to get this part. Why does that make you giggle? Did you not have to beat them off?
She
still doesn't know. And by the way, you hear all the crew laughing in the background, all the people behind the cameras and whatnot. They just can't believe it's happening.
Why does that make you giggle? Did you not have to beat them off?
You had to get the role. There was quite a few men up for the role as well.
So this is her co-host who's jumping in to rephrase the question. You know, to get the role is what she means.
There were.
And compose yourself.
By the way, she's composed herself as if she's like, she's now ticked at Dan Stevens because, hey, why can't you be professional? I just asked you a reasonable question and you're still laughing. What's up, dude?
Okay, Dan, why are there lots of other Americans up for this role?
I guess there were. When I sat down with the director, Adam Wingard, it was very apparent that we had a very similar twisted sense of humour, and we wanted to have a lot of fun with this and make people laugh with it. And that's exactly what you've done to me this morning. And I hope we can do with the guests, you know.
So there you go. By the way, I've been in that position as well where everyone else is laughing.
Yeah.
And you're sort of trying to think back through what you said and how you could have screwed up. That happens to me a lot.
Aww.
It's weird. When everybody's laughing, and you go, okay, they all get
and
something.
And a lot of times, if it's something good, you'll say, what did I do? Not knowing that, no, it's just funny.
Well, it's just an assumption.
Yeah.
On my part, yeah.
Oh,
and she beat him off.
Yeah.
All right, good times. Watch our language, people. Bean.
Right? Right?
Bean.
I know. Believe me.
Pay attention. I hate people that don't pay attention to the rules.
You're not doing good so far.
So far.
The Kevin and Bean Show.
You're not doing good.
On K-Rock. K-Rock.
Oh, the King of Mexico's in here. Hey, Dave.
Come on.
How you doing, Dave?
I don't get a mic.
Are you crying like a little baby, Dave?
I cry once in a movie, and I get this.
You don't tell people here that you cry. Really, ever.
Listen, man. I'm comfortable with my emotions.
We were catching up with everybody after the weekend. Hey, what'd you do? Hey, where'd you go? Hey, who'd you see? Oh, you went to the movies? Oh, what'd you see? And Dave said that he went to see Logan, as many people did, by the way. $85 million Logan made, Kevin. I don't know if you heard over the weekend. Huge.
Not.
And apparently it's just great. One of the best superhero movies of all time. But the last thing I expected to hear was that Dave said he cried at Logan. This is a Wolverine movie, right?
Yes.
Yes.
All right. And this is Dave.
And this is Dave, right?
Ah.
Who's a heartless bastard.
Right?
Right. I would not have put those two together. Now, without spoiling it, you weren't expecting that when you went in, right?
No, I was expecting, like, I knew there was going to be some gore, and I was expecting Wolverine to chop people's arms off and heads off and stuff like that, and that came through. Like, that was awesome. That was a great part of the movie. Mm-hmm. But at the end, you know, there's this actress. She's new, I guess. Her name's Daphne Keene. She plays the little girl
in
Wolverine.
She's a little girl, okay.
Mm-hmm. The interaction between her and Hugh Jackman is just so damn good that it left a tear in my eye.
Was it
a tear? No.
Or were we bawling?
No.
Really?
I'm trying to save myself here, Kevin.
Like heaving sobs.
Well, not...
heaving sobs.
No.
Everybody else in the theater know you were crying?
I do a pretty good job of... No.
Okay.
No, I do a pretty good job of like going like, ooh, what's on the floor right now? You know, and I start looking away.
That's your move?
I'm not crying, you're
crying.
Yeah,
I'm not looking away. So I go
what's
with...
What's on the floor of a movie theater?
You know, I go with Christine, who works here with us, and I look at her, and her eyes are just glowing, full of tears, and a stream coming down.
We expect that from her.
So yeah, so I'm like, okay, I'm not the only one.
That happens
I was like,
to her in every single movie.
Yeah,
it happens to her in
everything. She's a sensitive soul.
Right.
Yeah.
Yes.
You're not.
But then
at all.
I go, okay, so it's okay, and I look at the person who was a seat away from me, and she was crying, and the guy was like pinching himself, and so I wasn't
really?
The only one. Yes, I wasn't the only one.
So he was pinching himself, I assume, so that he wouldn't cry?
Yeah, I don't know. That's what he was doing.
Makes sense.
I saw him, like, grabbing his arm, like, and I was like, what are you doing? I was like, I tried it. It didn't work.
Let me understand. And by the way, the topic is you cried at a movie that you were surprised that you cried at. You did not expect that this was going to be a tearjerker. Look, some movies you go in and you know it's a weeper, all right? Yeah. This was not that. That's what we're looking for. Let's go to Frank in Montebello then. He's on line 5. He'll be our first caller here on K-Rock.
Hey, Frank.
Good morning, guys. How are you doing?
Good, thanks. Good.
All right, so you cried at what?
So I didn't expect to cry at Arrival when I initially saw it.
Arrival? Okay.
Arrival, yeah. Such a beautifully written movie. It sets up some breadcrumbs throughout the movie, and the audience is confused as to what that means about the characters.
Right.
And at the end of the movie, you finally find out what all of it means.
It's so weird that I saw a different film called Arrival recently. I don't have any idea what you're talking about.
I think I agree. I remember that being very touching. I don't think I cried, but I remember it being really, really touching.
All right, sir. Thank you.
No, it's great.
Are you
going
to cry right now?
Like,
talking about it.
You're fine, Frank.
You're great, Frank.
You're absolutely fine, and we thank you for listening, and we thank you for calling. All right. Raul writes in, hey, Kevin, Bean, and Ally, I cried at the end of Pursuit of Happiness when Will Smith's character finally got the job. I felt like a total puss, just like Dave should today. So
here's
bringing some judgment down.
What was the name of that?
Pursuit of Happiness.
Yeah, Pursuit of Happiness. Yeah. I didn't see because it's about a dad losing his kids. Like, I had no interest.
You knew you would cry if you saw that. Yeah.
I just didn't even want to see it.
Why are you crying now?
Let's talk about movies you never expect to cry. And let's start with Claudia. She's in East L.A. She's our train wreck girl. And let's try to figure out how you cry at train wreck. Even if you're trying to, how do you do that? Claudia, enlighten us. What happened?
Good morning, guys. I've been listening for over 20 years. I love you guys.
Thank you, Claudia.
I was totally surprised. I was watching it on Netflix. Just wanted to laugh. And by the end of the movie, when she does the cheerleading scene, I was ugly crying. Like, it was
ugly
ridiculous.
Crying. Aww. I like that.
Yeah.
What do you think it was about that scene that affected you like that? Because, I mean, it was a change in her character, a little bit of redemption for the kind of person she was, but it was hardly a weepy moment.
Yeah, well, I think I just related to her character throughout the whole movie, and at the end, you know, I was hoping for a happy ending. I wasn't sure because it's Amy Schumer, so I'm like, you know, she's not going to end up with the guy, but she did, and just the way that she realized, you know, her own issues and how it was affecting the relationship.
Claudia went deep on train wreck. I like it.
All right, Claudia, thank you for listening. Thank you for calling. Let's go to LA Line 7. This is going to be Maribella. She's up next on The Kevin and Bean Show.
Hey, Maribella. Hi.
Hi.
Welcome to the show.
Thank you.
What movie were you surprised you cried at?
I was surprised I cried at Hidden Figures.
You were so sad those black ladies were good at math.
No.
Her
did you watch the movie, Bean?
No, that's what I'm trying to figure out. I'm trying to figure out how.
It's a really moving story of these three black women at NASA, and it really is. I mean, they put up with so much crap, and basically they're the ones that got the space program going. So it was very moving.
The scene where they all moved buildings and you saw them all move as one into the new building?
No, it was when she was ranting about the coffee. And
yes.
She had just gotten back from the bathroom, and he asked her why she was always away. And I know, scene got me.
That was a beautiful scene. That was probably one of the best scenes of the whole movie.
Yeah, the reason that she was exploding at that moment is because Kevin Costner's character was bawling her out for not being there, and she had to go a long way to a different campus to find a black restroom.
I get it. I get it. It sounds like we'll allow it, Maribella. You're allowed to cry at Hidden Figures. Thank you for the call.
Were you mad that black ladies were good at math?
I was just trying to figure out. I wanted her to tell us. Let's go to Michael Simi Valley. He's on line 5. This is one I think is going to be a surprise for a lot of people.
Hey, Michael.
Hey, guys. How's it going? Allie, good morning.
Hey.
Well.
So my girlfriend at the time took me to see Captain America: Civil War when it first came out.
I thought that was an awesome movie, but
it was awesome. I loved it.
Where did you cry?
So the part where Tony Stark meets Peter Parker for the first time in New York, I started crying. I'm not going to lie. It was like, I don't know, I felt really emotional because everyone had always been like, oh, Spider-Man's supposed to be in the Marvel movies, but, you know, it never happened. So I looked at my girlfriend at the time, and I just started crying. And she looked at me, she's like, what's wrong with you? And I was like, I don't know. Like, this is just really emotional. And, yeah, I started crying during
Captain America. You sound insane.
No.
Do you realize that? You should be medicated.
I love comic books.
Well, I mean, I think that's clear.
Yeah, it is. I'm just stunned that somebody who tears up over Spider-Man has a girlfriend.
Not just tearing up over Spider-Man, just tearing up that Spider-Man was in a Marvel movie, like the Marvel Studios movie. That's it, right?
I was like, wow, I can't believe Peter Parker's finally going to be in a Marvel movie.
Stop judging Michael,
you guys. Did you cry during the Homecoming trailer, too?
I think we'll allow this.
Yes, we will.
I didn't expect it. I knew he was going to be in it, but when the Homecoming trailer, when I saw Homecoming trailer, I was like, oh, cool, it's Spider-Man. When I finally saw it, I was like, oh, my God.
All right, I'm going to speak before Bean does, and I'm going to say we'll allow it.
The Kevin and Bean Show on K-Rock. K-R-O-Q.
Here's a great article
relevant to the interest of many people. If you are on a dating app, listen up. This one is for you. It's from Vice.com, and they did an interview. You know, the dating apps are the way most people meet now. They're very, very popular. But what they have led to is a lot of first impressions. You spend 5 seconds, 3 seconds, 1 second.
Most of the time, 1 second.
On somebody's profile, and then they've done something that catches your eye, that makes you swipe left immediately. That entire human being and their life and their story has been written off by you because of what? Myra, for instance, says, my biggest turnoff were definitely small things. All guys with cats are totally trying to emotionally manipulate you and play you. Now, who hurt her? Who hurt Myra?
So she thinks he's putting a cat there not because he likes cats, but because he's trying to get her to go,
I guess. But aren't there some people who legitimately, they think a good profile picture is me with my cat? Apparently, you're not getting anywhere with Myra if that's the case. Here's one. On the opposite side of the coin is men holding fish. They come off as oblivious. What woman is interested in a fish? And I assume
what
by that
she...
What
man would put up a picture holding a fish?
I assume by that she means people who use like a profile picture of one of their dating pictures or something is them with after fishing, holding like on a pole a big fish that they caught. Maybe they're trying to show that they're athletic or they're outdoorsy or something like that. But she says, what woman is interested in a fish?
Yeah, that seems odd.
I also have a rule, Myra says, informed by my personal experience, to never talk to or date a guy named Andrew. All Andrews are assholes. Well, I think that sounds very reasonable. I don't think she's gonna miss out on anyone good with that policy. All right, why don't we start with, let's start with James. Let's go to line two. He's in Pasadena. He is first up. What is it, James, that you see in a dating app profile that instantly you know that person is not for you?
It's not the side of the nose ring, but the nose ring that kind of goes in between the two nostrils there that like can flip down.
Right.
You know what I'm talking about?
So the septum.
Yep.
So you're cool with the side piercings, but just not the middle of the nose.
Yeah, the side piercing kind of looks cute, but the middle of the nose, it makes me think that they're like some type of hog or a cow or something.
What?
But
I know it doesn't make sense.
No, it doesn't.
Because they could be a great girl who just have different taste in jewelry.
For sure.
Yeah. All right, we're turning you down, James. You're making a bad decision.
Sure, I think they're allowed to have their opinions here.
That's a bad decision. Get off my phone.
Are we back to get off my phone? Is that where we are? All right, let's try Riverside Line 5, please. This is going to be Trent up next on the Kevin Beach Show. Trent, what's the thing you see in a dating app that you know instantly I am not swiping right on her?
Bible verses.
Oh, people put Bible verses up there. Well, I think they do that to not have Trent hit on them.
People like to put them on because, you know, you have a couple people who like to show that they're religious, but a lot of the times I come across it and it's just somebody's putting it on because they like to seem deep when in reality they don't really have any real connection to the religion.
I see.
So
yeah.
If I ever see it on their profile, I just avoid it. If I come across somebody who's religious, then that's completely fine.
Then that's fine. All right. I can see that.
I got you. All right. Thank you for the call, Trent. We'll allow it. Let's go to 7. Line 7, please, in Glendale. This is going to be Steph. Let's see what her big turnoff is.
Hey, Steph.
You know, I have many, but truthfully, it's when guys put a picture of them and like, their three buddies up there.
Oh, you don't like the what? Group photos. Why?
Because you don't know who is the actual person that you're, like, looking at.
Oh, and now if that's the only photo, yeah, that makes a lot of sense. But how about if it's just one of the photos?
I only look at the profile, like, for that photo.
For a second, right.
Yeah, 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 yeah.
So
yeah,
you go, I'll take the second guy from the left, but other than that, I'm out.
Right, but you don't know if that's
you don't know
the
if it's available.
You're actually getting.
Right,
exactly. All right, so Steph doesn't want it to be work. She doesn't want to have to do a deep dive to figure out who's in the photo that's available
that.
On the app.
We'll,
I understand.
We'll allow that.
Let's try, let's give Samantha a shot here. She's on line 5. She's in Buena Park. Samantha, thank you for calling and holding on. What's the one thing you see in a profile or a profile pic that says no, sir?
Pictures of guys with their moms.
So you don't want somebody who has a good relationship with his mom?
There is a fine line. I love someone who's all about family and has a good relationship, but then
that Mama's Boy. I've just had really bad luck with Mama's Boys.
And you're taking your relationship with your mom to the level where it's a major part of your life if you're putting it on your dating profile, right? So that's a red flag.
And that means that she's going to be, like, all up in my business, and I'm not going to do things right, and it's just a no.
All right. Understandable. Thanks for the call. Appreciate that. Let's go to line three, please. Eagle Rock. This is going to be Alexis.
Hey, Alexis.
Hi.
Hi there. Deal breakers on dating apps. What's yours?
Pictures with their ex-wives, like wedding photos.
Oh. People put their ex-wives in a wedding photo on a dating app?
Absolutely. It happens all the time.
Really?
They put up their photos of their pictures from their wedding day with their exes.
And what do you think that's about? Like, what are they thinking? This is the only photo I have of me in a suit?
I think they just think it looks good, so why don't I just blur her out?
That's so weird.
Even blur her out.
Yeah, I mean, I can think of several reasons why that's a terrible idea. You're making the right call there, Alexis.
But wait, what if she's hot? If she's hot, doesn't that say, hey, I can
pull?
Yes.
Well, a lot of times it's like their first step into, you know, trying to fish out for a threesome. But half the time,
okay, all right.
I hadn't even thought about that.
All right,
yeah. Alexis, thank you for the call.
All right, hey Rachel, welcome to the Kevin and Bean Show.
Hi.
Hi. What is the deal breaker for you on the dating app?
Guys that have been to Burning Man and have pictures of them at Burning Man.
Hey, I've been to Burning Man.
Well, sorry, Kevin.
Come on.
I'm sorry, but it's just like the metallic Speedo on the playa. It's just like, I know that they thought it was a really spiritual experience and that I would have nothing in common with them whatsoever.
All right. Thank you for the
call. All right, let's try Brenda, please. Line 7. She's in Marina Del Rey. This is, by the way, for the guys who listen who are out there, you know, trying to meet somebody, trying to hook up or whatever. This is great free advice that the ladies are sharing with you today. Brenda, what is it that you see in a picture or a profile that is an instant no for you?
Shirtless pics. Oh my God, they look like whores.
Wait, hold on. So, if a guy has a picture on his page where he doesn't have a shirt on, that's an automatic instant turn off, even if they look good?
No. Okay, so if they're like on the beach, like they're surfers, that's fine. But the ones where they're like in front of a bathroom mirror just taking a picture of their abs are like so disgusting. And unless they're like overweight, and then it's hilarious.
What?
I love that. Because comedy nudity is the best kind of nudity, right?
Yes.
All right.
Thank you, Brenda. All right. Here's what Tina says. Maybe this will be the last weigh-in. This is she emailed us. She's got a long list here, Kevin. A guy who takes a picture with sunglasses. I swipe left right away. I need to see their eyes. So, boom. She's out if you're wearing sunglasses in your photo.
If that's your only photo, I could see that. You want to see someone's eyes.
A guy who takes a picture with his mom means he's a mama boy. I swipe left. All right. We heard that from another caller. A guy who says his career is thriving. I swipe left. It means he's a workaholic. A guy that has pictures with other girls means he's a womanizer. A guy that has a picture with his kids. I can't compete. Guys that say they're philosophers just mean they're opinionated and they like to argue. And please, no pictures of when they're young. Who cares, says Tina. Alone for life.
It's Kevin and Bean on K-Rock. Introducing rock and roll.
The Polar Music Prize is a big award to win. You know, there's just a few things you can win for your music. You can win your Grammys, and you can win your American Music Awards, and your Academy Awards. This one's right up there, man. It's a big deal. Everybody from Paul McCartney to Pink Floyd to Peter Gabriel, Paul Simon, lots of legends have won it. And this year, another legend won it. It was Sting. It's like a lifetime achievement award. It's that sort of a thing. Right. So Sting is there in the audience, and they have decided that they are going to honor him with this prestigious award. And they have to choose somebody to pay tribute to Sting on stage, a fellow musician, to sing one of his songs.
Now, you would think that they would have their pick, right?
Of
most singers in the
world.
And Sting has so many close friends. Get Bruce Springsteen to come out and do it. You know, he has so many close friends that are top talents that you would think, you're right, Kevin, you could just go down the list and pick anyone you wanted to come honor their friend Sting. Well, for some reason, they picked a man that I don't think Sting had ever met. Musician Jose Feliciano.
Yeah.
Because when you think the music of the Police, you think a blind acoustic guitar player from Puerto Rico is the guy who needs to be up on stage doing his song.
And then you think, well, they must have chosen him because
he's a huge fan.
Huge fan mm-hmm. or loves the song yeah. or something. There has to be some tie-in.
Or he's got a an inventive take on the song.
Oh, he has an inventive take, all right.
So here's Jose Feliciado, popular in the 1960s, by the way, dragged out of mothballs to go up on stage sing.
Did he do anything else besides Feliz Navidad that I would know of?
The Chico and the Man.
Okay. Yeah, the lead from Chico and the Man. He had a very popular hit with the cover of Light My Fire by The Doors. Those are probably his three best-known songs.
Okay.
Not an obvious choice to pay tribute to Sting, for sure. So he gets up there, and he's singing Every Breath You Take.
Define singing.
If you could see the look on Sting's face as he's trying not to either laugh or cry, I can't tell which. But it's a crazy bad performance, and we thought you might enjoy hearing some of it now.
Here's the beginning of it when Jose's trying to work out the sound problems, which is always good when you're actually doing the actual event and you're still having sound problems.
What happened to my guitar? The volume went down. There we go. Thank you.
All right.
Okay.
Okay, now he's ready, and he's going to nail it, and he's going to pay tribute to Sting, and this is going to be an amazing performance. Yeah. Are you ready? Has he already missed notes, or is he playing that on purpose?
Oh, no.
You don't think that's on purpose?
No.
Okay, so he's already making mistakes, and that's a beautiful thing.
I don't love this so far.
No. Wait till he sings, though. It'll get better.
Every breath you take.
All right.
Okay. Every move you make. Every bond you break. I'll be watching you.
He
forgot the words.
He skipped a couple of lines there, didn't he?
How crazy.
Wow.
I mean, you would think,
right?
You'd be prepared and rehearsed, and this is a big deal. Have the lyrics right there in front
something.
Of you. Something so that this doesn't happen.
Every bond you break, I'll be watching you.
Okay. Now they take a shot at Sting throughout this whole thing. So they go back and forth between Jose Feliciano and Sting, and Sting's got his hand on his face, and he's like almost trying to not laugh,
right?
But also is cringing because it's so bad.
I'm sure the whole audience is cringing.
Right, exactly.
Every single day, every word you say, every game you play, every night you stay, I'll be watching you.
All right, bring in the background singer.
Oh, can't you see? You belong to me.
Now, at this point, don't you think Sting's like, couldn't we? What? Why am I?
I mean, at this point, there's nothing you can do but just sit there and suffer in silence.
How come this choice was made?
I feel like Jose Feliciano is singing a different song.
Is that Sam the Armenian comedian?
Sounds like it,
Holy
right?
crap.
Isn't that ridiculous?
How my poor heart
Oh, my God.
With every step. Every smile you fake, every claim you state, I'll be watching you.
All right, here we go.
Oh, he sounds great.
Yeah, he sounds great because they brought in a female singer, a background singer, to start taking over the actual chorus part of it. But then he decides that he needs to show off his guitar work.
Okay.
Oh, all
well, that's
right.
That's
sort of what
for,
he's known
sure.
for, right?
No. No. You added that.
Didn't. Oh, my God. Didn't. That's real.
Kevin.
That's real. That happened.
I bet you never thought you would live to see the day that Sting wishes he had never written Every Breath You
right?
Take.
Right? Listen.
Oh, my God.
Honestly, I feel like I'm at school and it's a seventh grade play, and some kid's just giving it his best, but not really the kind of tribute that you want.
Okay.
He didn't cut it short either. He did the whole song.
That's enough.
You don't want to hear more?
I don't think so. I feel like we've gotten it. Ouch.
And they keep cutting right back to Sting, and Sting is just really, he doesn't know what to do with himself.
Watching you.
How does he not give
every
up at
I'll
that
be watching
point?
You?
I mean, at that point, don't you just go, sorry. Sorry, everybody.
Man.
I'm out. Apologize and back out.
Gentlemen, I don't mind telling you, I've never heard a bigger crock of bull crap in my life.
It's the Kevin and Bean Show, the world famous K-Rock.
Semi-accurate entertainment news. Gal Gadot. Gal Gadot, as she says, is making cinematic history. Congratulations to the star of Wonder Woman. Her film just passed the $370 million mark in North America alone, which means it just passed blockbuster Deadpool. And being a good sport, Ryan Reynolds showed he couldn't be happier with the news, posted a photo of himself with his hands making a heart shape around a WW logo, and hashtagged the shot, hashtag box office boss. Good for him for recognizing that he's been beaten by a woman.
Oh, I'd like to be beaten by Gal Gadot. Gal, if you're out there listening, you can get that lasso. Get that golden lasso of truth. Make me tell you things.
New book about the Bee Gees. Believe it or not. And it will try to convince you that the Brothers Gibb were not just a disco band. Staying Alive, the Disco Inferno of the Bee Gees. Was written by a guy who's talked about how three guys from Manchester, England transformed themselves into the funkiest white group ever and made the world dance. Is the slug line of the book? Nope. I think we're going to pass. But those guys, they did forever get sort of shackled with that Saturday Night Fever album, which, by the way, was one of the biggest albums of all time and made them a ton of cash. So they can't be too unhappy about that, right? Mm-hmm. Although they bitched about it anyway. Remember Passion Pit?
Yeah.
Band Passion Pit. They're officially releasing their new album on July 28th. Tremendous Sea of Love was available for free earlier this year on Twitter, but now they are selling it. All proceeds from the new album will go to the Stanley Center for Psychiatric Research at Broad Institute. The Passion Pit frontman Michael Angelikos has kept his fans very much in the loop on his various treatments for mental illness. He's suffered with mental illness for some time, and he's been very forthcoming and open about it, and all the proceeds for this album will go to that cause, which I think is pretty cool. And you can find a way to use your art and benefit some other people once in a while. This has everything to do with show business, but I was blown away. I just had to talk to you about it because there's some people we need to, it's like we were talking about Shia LaBeouf earlier, some people we just need to pull out of circulation. Just need to take them out, send them back to the mint, or wherever the people who no longer get circulated go, and just take them out. This guy may be one of them. His name is Normand LaVivier of Olympia, Washington. And he was upset with the IRS. I can understand that. IRS can be frustrating sometimes. Started filing complaints back in the 1990s about his tax situation. He's 68 years old. He's mad as hell, and he's not going to take it anymore. He said no one was listening to him, so he took matters into his own hands. Or his own finger. Anyway. He sent them a package, sent them an envelope. Inside that envelope was a marijuana cigarette, a bullet, a fake bomb, and his own finger that he cut off and mailed to them as a complaint.
Holy crap.
Well, it was his middle finger, so he was giving them the finger. He was arrested on federal charges of threatening and also a felony count of dumbassery. So, Norman's my citizen of the day right there. Let's take a look at today's... I got this.
You've got stuff.
I got stuff to give. Let me give stuff. Nick Offerman. We love some Nick Offerman around here. Parks and Rec, of course. His extensive woodworking history. Married to the lovely Megan Mullally. He is going to be performing at Royce Hall on the campus of UCLA this October. October 8th is the date. The show's called Nick Offerman, Full Bush. at Royce Hall. I'm just going to let that sit there. And in, tickets go on sale this Friday at 10 a.m. on Ticketmaster.com. But we're giving them out right now. Yay! One lucky caller will get a pair of tickets to see Nick Offerman, Full Bush. If your caller number, let's caller number 8. Let's say number 8 since it's October 8th. Caller number 8 at 1-800-520-1067 will win a pair of tickets to see Nick Offerman perform at Royce Hall. I bet that's going to be a good show. Looking forward to that. Today's celebrity birthdays. Brock Lesnar is 40 years old today. Steve Howie is 40 as well. Michelle Rodriguez from the Fast and Furious franchise is 39. Topher Grace is 39 as well. Before I say goodbye to you folks, I want to remind you, don't forget on your drive home today, listen to the commercial-free 5 p.m. hour. It is a random act of helpfulness from the SoCal Helpful Honda dealers, and we truly appreciate it. I'm Ralph Garman. I'll talk to you tomorrow.
The Kevin and Bean Show. It's cool. I'm guessing it's many things. Cool is probably the one thing it's not. It's not. The world famous K-Rock.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.